I'm Carrie Harkin from Fort Collins, Colorado, and I love to listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 48 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today. And with me on the show today is runner, blogger, snow shoveler, Michelle Scribner-McLean. Welcome to the show, Michelle.
Yeah, I was actually going to introduce myself as snow shoveler because we had a whopping 12 inches of snow here in New Hampshire on top of the snow we already had. But it's supposed to be 56 on Tuesday, so yippee! So I'm excited about that. How are you doing? How's your recovery, Mike? I know a lot of people on Facebook are wondering that.
It's a slow recovery. I think that the thing that I have to keep in mind is patience. During the late fall, when I thought I was recovering, I was going out and I was running 7, 8, 9 miles, and it was puzzling why I wasn't, you know, doing better, and I was having trouble. And I decided that I need to give my leg, my knee, a little bit of a rest. So having said that, it's getting better every day, and I'm hoping to begin my running program for 2013 sometime in about a month.
Well, so that's very cool. So I know we have some announcements, but before I do that, I wanted to give a shout out to one of our listeners, and her name is Jennifer Riley LaForge. And I want to give her a shout out because she said that she loves to hear your cool Boston accent, and she loves it when you say cardio. So I also love it when you say cardio. So Jennifer is a shout out for you. Well, and all your cardio.
Well, the thing is, Jennifer, that everybody else has an accent and I don't have the accent. So when I say cardio.
And how do we say Jennifer in the Boston area?
This is a shout out to Jennifer.
Jennifer, right? And her cardio.
Yeah, so Jennifer, work on your cardio, okay, Jennifer?
Okay. So all right. We have some announcements. Can I go first?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. So the first one is that although we're not going to be running, we've decided to head down to the Expedition Everest 5K challenge, or it's run and scavenger hunt. So we're really excited about that. And so we decided to have a Mickey Miles meet. So the meet is going to be on Sunday, May 5th, 2013 at 1 p.m. And we're having it not in a theme park. We're having it at the Art of Animation, or as Mike would say, the Art of Animation. And if you want to come by at 1 p.m., we're going to be having lunch there. You can join us. We can chat and you can look around the very cool new resort if you want to, and we'd love to see you. So again, that's Sunday, May 5th, and you can RSVP on the Facebook page. What else, Mike?
Very good. I also wanted to mention, we mentioned this a few episodes before, that when we started the podcast, we didn't really plan on having any advertising because we wanted to make sure that there was interest in this podcast. We wanted to make sure that it was viable and sustainable, and we wanted to wait about 6 months before we would entertain any advertising. And it's 6 months, and there's interest, and we're very excited. So we are more than pleased to and anxious to partner with anyone who would love to partner with us. And just think of it this way: there could be an episode where you would hear this episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by ABC Company. So if you're interested in becoming a partner with the Mickey Miles Podcast, please send me email at mike@mickeymilespodcast.com and we'll talk. And with that, Michelle, I am going to ask you the first question for today's show. It's a question show.
Lay it on me.
And here it is. It comes from Krista Krista Kepler.
No, we don't want you to lose that accent.
All right. Kepler. It comes from Krista Kepler. And Krista says, can someone recommend a good Android app to listen to the podcasts? Right now, I am only streaming them from the website, and it sometimes cuts out due to buffering. Thanks.
So I think I have an answer to that one for you, Krista. The podcast just became available on Stitcher Radio, which is an app that you can download on iOS or on Android. So if you download it on Android, you should be able to listen to our podcast, and you should be fine. You should be able to take it out on your runs with you.
I think I also have listened to the podcast on iTunes Radio. Is it iTunes Radio?
Oh, TuneIn Radio?
TuneIn Radio.
TuneIn Radio.
Oh. TuneIn Radio.
Yeah, and Stitcher, I know that I was playing with making the voices go faster and slower, so that was really fun. That means I have way too much time on my hands. But, Krista, let us know if that works out for you. Mike, I was wondering if I could read the next question.
Knock yourself out.
All right. It's from Stephanie Gomez. And she says, I found the Mickey Miles podcast at the perfect time. 3! You guys are great. Hope to meet you guys one day. My husband and I will be doing the Wine and Dine Half Marathon, which will be our first race. That's so cool. We are so excited. As soon as I subscribe to you, all that's listed is episodes 26 through 45. I'm assuming she's talking about iTunes. How can I hear episode 1 through 25 if they're not listed? Also, how can we join a running team? Keep up the good work, and thank you in advance.
Well, first off, Stephanie, the thing is that there's only so much space on all these servers who host a podcast, and with everybody and his brother having a podcast, it would be not good planning to try to hold on to every podcast. So there's only a finite amount of space. So, Stephanie, if you'd like to listen to the earlier episodes, you can go to mickeymiles.podbean.com, and there you could find all the episodes that you want to listen to. And good luck.
Yeah, she actually had a part two of that question, which was how can she join a running team? So in the next month or so, we're going to invite some running teams to come on and tell us about how you can join. And we should have two or three on at least. So keep your ears open. We'll have some folks come on. And Stephanie, please let us know how we can help you to train for your first race. That's so exciting.
One thing about running teams is that they're all different. One thing they all have in common is that they all have a cause, and that's very, very, very nice to know. What they all don't have in common is that there are certain requirements that are asked of their members to participate. So we hope to have several on, and hope that we could match people up with the team that suits their needs. Okay, next question. Michelle, I will ask you this question. And it comes from TJ. And TJ says, my family will be at Walt Disney World for Marathon Weekend 2014, and I have a question about lodging and spectating for the race. Having run the marathon there before, I know that unless you're in a monorail hotel, you need to get up extremely early to get to the Magic Kingdom to watch the race. Do you know if the boats run from Wilderness Lodge to the Magic Kingdom early in the morning for the races? Just wondering if that's an option.
That's a great question, TJ. I'm sure a lot of other people would want to know the answer to that question. My answer is that I have never seen that as an official mode of transportation. What Disney talks about all the time are the buses. So I would not count on it, and I would not expect that there would be boats. What do you think, Mike?
I agree, Michelle. It's buses first before they close the roads, and then it's all monorail until a certain point. And I believe that point is somewhere around 9 o'clock or 9:30. And I know that for a fact because I was a spectator in January and February, and I learned firsthand how to get around. And buses were not an option until Most of the runners, if not all of them, were out of the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah,
so, and the boats, same thing. You, just like you said, I'm sorry, Michelle, but I just want to reinforce what you said. Boats are not mentioned in the directions, so I would not depend upon them.
Yeah, I just want to say, though, that even though it's a lot of work to get there, I know that Mike and I spectated in January on Main Street USA, and it was so much fun, so much fun. So I definitely would do it and get there early so you get a nice spot. It's worth it. All right, our next question isn't really a question. It's some tips that somebody sent in, and we thought they were really good. So we love it when you send in tips because we certainly don't know everything, and we will pass them along if we can. And it is from a good friend of ours and a friend of the show, Amanda North from Scarsdale, New York, Dr. Amanda. And she says, "Hi, Michelle and Mike. It was great to see you again during the Princess Half Marathon weekend. I wanted to share two things that happened on the weekend that might be helpful to other runners. The first one was on Saturday, we did the Royal Family 5K. It was my husband, me, my 9-year-old son, my 7-year-old daughter, and my 4-year-old son in a stroller. The little one and I were assigned to Corral E, but the rest of the family was assigned to Corral D. We were all allowed to start together in Corral E, which is the stroller corral. But they did inform us that it was pace-controlled corral. They had two Run Disney people carrying a banner and walking at a 15-minute-per-mile pace. All the strollers needed to be behind this banner for the duration of the race." That's really interesting. So, Mike, it sounds like they wanted the strollers to stay separate from the runners. I think that's probably a good idea with so many people.
I agree.
"My 9-year-old took off as soon as we crossed the starting line. Fortunately, I had a designated meeting place after the race. We didn't see him again until after the finish. After he finished, he collected his medal, his snack box, his Powerade, and then he found a volunteer and asked for the family reunion area. The volunteer got a Run Disney person to help him, and this lovely young lady waited with him until I arrived. She also called my cell phone to let me know she had him. I was very impressed with this. My son is very independent and was able to figure everything out for himself, despite it being his first K." Well, Amanda, it sounds like he's already a veteran runner. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. I don't know that I'd recommend that your kids run alone, but I'm glad that it all worked out. And it's nice that the Run Disney folks were able to help you and that he knew that he was supposed to go to the family reunion area.
It's very crowded, and it's very there's a lot of confusion. It seems to be so much more organized before a race than after a race. And this tip from Amanda just reinforces how important it is to suggest or plan a designated meeting place for after the race. And what we have done, Michelle, many times, and I think I did this, I mentioned to you that I would meet you under the A in the gathering area after the Princess Half. And it's good to take care of that, you know, a day or two before the race and not think about it on the morning of the race. Because if you think about it a day or two before the race, if you agree on a designated meeting place, then it's ingrained in your mind for more than one day or more than 1 hour. So you'll remember it.
Right. A lot of people like to meet under a letter that isn't common for a last name like U or X too. So she had some more advice for us and for other runners. So the second part is, "I had signed up for runner tracking during the Princess Half, and I was supposed to get text messages. I never got a text message after the 5K mat. I did get one after the 10K mat, but my time was quite different from my Garmin time. When I crossed the finish line, Run Disney texted me a finish time that was quite a bit off my actual finish time according to my Garmin. After some research, I realized that my B tag must not have recorded at the starting line, and they had my clock time instead of my chip time. I emailed Run Disney that day. Within the next few days, they responded quickly to my concern. We emailed back and forth a few times as they tried to get enough information to help me solve my problem. They used photos and videos to find me on the course, and they have adjusted my finish time to reflect my chip time. It took over a week for the new time to be published, and apparently it'll take another week or more before my finisher certificate is updated with the correct information. I was quite impressed, again, with how Run Disney handled this. I hope this information is helpful to others. Thanks for all you do." So, Mike, I think it would be worthwhile for some new runners out there to talk about what is the clock time and your chip time on those B tags. Those B tags are things on the back of your race bib that for the longer races, the 10 milers and higher, they record your time. So what's the difference between clock time and chip time, Mike?
As far as clock time goes, Michelle, clock time is from the beginning of the race. And if you're in a corral that's three or four back from the starting corral, when you cross the start line, you will see the clock reading 4, 5, 6, maybe 7 minutes. And that's clock time for the entire race.
So that's right. When Corral A starts, that's the clock time.
That's when Corral A starts. Mm-hmm. But your chip time is what the mat reads when you cross over the mat. And it's reading your chip on your bib. And so your chip time will be much different than your clock time. And the first time I ran a half marathon down there, I noticed I passed by the 5K, or actually it was the 1 mile mark, and I'm looking at it, and I know I was doing about a 10-minute mile, and it said something like 16 minutes. I'm thinking, what's going on here? And then I realized that, the race started 6 minutes before I crossed the start line. And so that's basically the difference between the two.
I think it's very interesting here that Amanda was so on top of this and that she emailed Run Disney and that they used photo information to kind of track where she was. When you're talking 26,000 people, that's pretty amazing that they were able to pinpoint where she was.
Well, you think about it, there aren't that many places where they take photos. So I would be real curious to see how they figured this out. But kudos to Amanda for sticking up for herself and making sure that she got the right chip time. And I think that it's important for everyone to know that the times that they record in a Disney Run Disney race or any race will help in their placement for a corral placement for a future race. And I'm sure that was in Amanda's mind. So always protect yourself. Make sure that there's a correct time listed for your time.
Yeah, it's. I like the way they handled it too. It sounds like they handled it very well. It was fair and done quickly too. We have one more question, Mike.
And one last question, and it comes from Laura, who says, "Hi, my husband and I have decided to do the Wine and Dine Half Marathon. I was looking at the course map and wondering about the elevation. Are there any monster overpasses like in the Princess? We would definitely need to prepare for that." So, Michelle, from what I have recalled doing the Wine and Dine, I don't believe there are any monster overpasses like the ones that you will encounter when you're coming back over the last 2 or 3 miles for the January marathon. The course does follow a certain path on the highway that has sort of a graded up and down, like sort of little hills and valleys, but nothing really, really that that monsterish, you might say. I do recall that there may be some elevation when you are going up a ramp when you're coming into the studios. That could be an issue. But relatively speaking, I think it's a pretty even race. The only thing about Wine and Dine is that going in, you ran the 2012, Michelle. Did you? And you went through Animal Kingdom, right?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, the Animal Kingdom can be a little tricky.
Well, with the pavement on Animal Kingdom, it's just meant to be uneven. That's the way they designed it. So, there are a few little, a little hills, but nothing big. I don't know. I don't consider those overpasses too monster either. I think they're, you know, they're definitely doable, but you should probably be doing some of your training on hills anyway, just to mix up your training.
Yeah, I think what Laura is mentioning is that those hills do come, you know, last quarter of the race. Looking at the course map, I do recall running, and when I was on Osceola Parkway, there were some, you know, some small hills, but you know, it may be 100 strides and you're done with it. So I wouldn't worry about that. Again, just I do remember that going on to the ramp to Disney's Hollywood Studios was a little bit. And the only other one is when you are coming into Epcot and you're going up that slope, then when you're running by Beach Club and you're heading towards International Gateway. But other than that, it's not really a race that has hills. So you should be okay, Laura. If you were able to take care of those overpasses for the Walt Disney World Half Marathon, then this will be a cinch. Okay, Michelle. Well, you know, I think that's all the questions we have. So what we're going to do is we talked with so many people over the Princess Half Marathon weekend that what I would like to do, with your permission, Michelle, is fill the rest of this podcast with one or two of those interviews and finish out the show. What do you say?
I think that's a great idea. We're very thankful to the people who spoke with us during the Princess Half Marathon, and I'd love to hear some of those interviews again, hear what people thought about it.
And if we don't get to all of them today, we'll certainly try to get to them in later shows. So sit back and listen to someone you may have heard before or someone you're going to meet for the first time.
So I'm here with Jill from Fort Collins. And Jill, is this your first princess?
It is my first princess, yes.
And you brought a friend with you.
Yes, it's her very first Disney race, so it's going to be fun.
Did you hook her into Disney races?
And kind of running in general. Last year, I was training for another half marathon, and she started her first 10K, and then she got the bug. So it was got her both into running and Disney races, so yeah.
Are you going to stay together while you run?
I don't know. She's a little bit faster than I am, so I've given her permission to go ahead if she needs to.
So why are you excited about running the Princess?
It's just fun. It sounds cheesy when I say this as far as running Disney races as a whole, but they're just super inspiring. You see every size of person, every physical ability, you see everything, and it's inspiring knowing that every single person there is there for their own goal, and everyone there is meeting some goal of theirs. So I'm just excited about Disney races, and the Princess having a women's focus race is awesome.
I love the way you put that. I agree. I was actually saying that to somebody last night, that it's every shape, size, ability, and it is very, very inspiring. That's cool. So did I hear right that you might be getting your coast to coast?
Yes, for sure we are getting our coast to coast, unless something tragic happens, but we are registered for the Disneyland Half. And got my DVC stay and everything lined up already, so plane tickets need to be bought, and then it will be official.
Oh, you drank the Kool-Aid just like me.
I wish I wouldn't have some days. My checkbook wishes I wouldn't have, but yes, I did.
So are you dressing up?
For this race, we're just doing like a sparkle skirt, and I run like a princess, try to keep up tank tops, and maybe a tiara, so pretty mellow, but dressing up just a little bit.
I'm just wondering, like, how are you going to keep the tiara on?
That is a fabulously good question, because I'm not exactly sure. I literally bought probably three different types of bobby pins, so we will see. And you can't see me, but I have a very big head, so I am a little worried about having that tiara stay on the head. We'll see.
Yeah, honestly, I'm going to report back, because I'm curious how you're going to bobby pin a tiara. I just think that's interesting.
We are on it. I'll take photos if need be, but I absolutely will report back.
Thank you. Well, we'd love to hear how you did, and we wish you lots of luck.
Thank you, Michelle.
Hi, I'm here with Terry from Nashville, and Terry, I hear that you are running the Princess Half Marathon. Is that right?
Yes, it combines the three things I love most in life: running, Disney, and crush dressing.
So you're dressing up for the race?
A tutu, yes.
What color?
A 3-3 in my case. It's a pink. What other color is there for a tutu?
Oh, very nice. And what about the top?
I thought the top was optional.
Goodness. So how long have you been training for the Princess?
I'm almost embarrassed to answer this. A year and a half.
That's wonderful. So it's your first, it's not your first Disney race, you said, right?
No, it's our first, it's both of our first half marathon anywhere.
And you are?
Debbie.
And Debbie's connected with Terry in some way?
I am.
Against your better judgment.
Sometimes I wonder about that.
So it's your first half marathon as well?
Yes, it is.
And are you dressing up?
Wearing a tutu. We are wearing matching tutus.
Oh my goodness, I can see the Christmas card this year, what it's going to be. That's terrific. So what are you most excited about with the race?
Finishing upright.
Are you worried about it?
I am. I have some injuries, so I'm a little scared about getting through it all.
Terry, what are you most excited about?
Getting hurt through the race. I'm too old to be carrying anybody piggyback.
So you're going to stay the whole time together?
Yes.
Good.
That's specifically what we trained to do, yes.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. So I think that a lot of people are very excited about running through the castle. Is that something that you're looking forward to?
We are very excited about that part. Yes, definitely.
That's cool. Well, we wish you good luck and let us know how you do.
Thank you. We'll do that.
Thank you.
I'm with Kim from Washington. And Kim, are you doing your first princess?
It's my first princess, but not my first Disney race.
Oh, which other ones have you done?
My first Disney race was Tower of Terror last September. That was hot. Then I did Tinkerbell last month, and that was absolutely fabulous weather. It was perfect running weather, and it looks like it's going working up to be a little toasty again, just like last month for you, it sounds like.
Yeah, it was pretty, for the Tower of Terror, I was there too. That was brutal. I actually think that was worse than the marathon. I know you didn't do that one, but you thought it was bad.
I did. The Tower of Terror, 80 degrees at 10 o'clock at night. I'm sorry, that is just wrong. At least here, at least it looks like Sunday morning, it's supposed to be maybe mid-60s, so it's going to give us at least 15 degrees less. Let me tell you, I'm so sick of water. I think I had 7 24-ounce bottles of water yesterday. I'm so done.
So why did you do why are you doing the princess? Just because you love Disney races, or is there something special about this one?
Well, I love Disney races. I love to run. And I figured if there was any opportunity for me to do a coast-to-coast, the timing worked out really well, and I was able to go ahead, and I had points. I had mileage that I could book it. If it was going to happen, it was going to happen this time. And so my husband, I sat there and said, "Honey, would you mind if I did a solo trip?" And he said, "Sure." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, I'm going to go book that before you change your mind." So here I am. I get to do it all by myself. And are we really alone? I mean, look at this. I mean, we're with a whole bunch of princesses and princes that none of us have really met before this morning. So it's a lot of fun.
That's great. So are you dressing up for the race?
I am not. It's so cold where I come from. You know what it's like trying to, you know, do new outfits and stuff and see how it works when it's going to be in the hot weather. I'm running in 30 to 40 degree weather. I can't pull out a sparkle skirt and run in that, you know, without finding out that it's the wrong thing for me. So, and we're warm like 2 months out of the year. It doesn't get warm until after 4th of July. And then, you know, September's pretty, but it's cold. So just a bad training etiquette, I think.
I'm the same way, too. I don't know. I don't want to introduce a costume into it. I just don't feel comfortable in it if I can't run in it ahead of time. So I agree with you. That's good. So will you keep us posted on how you do?
Absolutely. I'm so looking forward to it. I don't think I'm going to post the smoking time I did last month, but I'm looking forward to having a really good time this time. I think I'm going to relax, maybe enjoy a character or two. Like, I didn't do that last month, so I think I'm going to enjoy that a little more.
Well, it's nice to meet you. Thank you for coming.
Thanks a lot.
Well, that about wraps it up for this episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. And again, we want to mention that if you'd like to partner with us, please send me an email at mike@mickeymilespodcast.com. And also, don't forget, we have for the Expedition Everest Challenge a meet. And Michelle, what is the date again?
It is Sunday, May 5th, 2013, at the Art of Animation Food Court. And it's going to be at 1 p.m.
At 1 p.m.
Good food there, too. I really like that food court.
Very, very, very nice. If you've never been there, this is a great time to go. It's in May. It's going to be beautiful, and we hope to see you there. So, for Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean, my name is Michael Scopa from WW Today, and we will see you on the road.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.